It's another week. It's another show with The Vision in the main event. If it's a WWE main roster show, then you know Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed are going to be in the main event. They're going to be wrestling babyface team default, whoever you want to plug in there. Usos. Tonight it was Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton. And The Vision did not win on Monday night. So you had to know they were going to level up on the show tonight. And they did. And what they did actually tonight was they had Paul Heyman planting the seeds of doubt in Randy Orton's head about whether or not he can trust his good pal Cody Rhodes. What has Cody done for you lately, right? He planted the seeds at the beginning of the show. And at the end of the show, Cody wasn't there when he needed him and Randy Orton fell. He fell actually to a stomp from Seth Rollins, who was not supposed to be on the show tonight, but there he was. And so The Vision get their win back from Monday. Randy Orton is left all alone to eat the pin. And you have to know that at some point that is going to blow up in a major way. That's certainly what they want you to think coming out of this show tonight. So The Vision go 50-50 on the week. Randy Orton is not going to be very happy about the way things turned out tonight. Now the question becomes, you know, between that and what Paul Heyman said to him earlier in the night, they're not being very subtle with these teases of a Randy Orton heel turn. Do we get it at Crown Jewel? I feel like this is something that I have been talking about now for a couple of years. Cody's been back for 3 years now. A lot of people have been waiting to see if they were going to tell the story between Cody and Randy, given the history together. Going all the way back to the legacy days. They haven't done that yet. They've teased it. There have been some subtle teases, some not so subtle teases. They've been tag team partners, buddy buddy. They respect each other. And they had that match at the King of the Ring in the finals, which did not go Randy Orton's way. And nothing came of it. But I think it's just feeding into a longer, larger story that will eventually be told between these two. The only question is when. We are coming up, though, next weekend on a little show called Crown Jewel. And Cody Rhodes is wrestling Seth Rollins on that show. And one of the stories that they have really been trying to, you know, focus on, they're going in very heavy on the angle that Seth cannot beat Cody one-on-one. Now, if Seth Rollins really does leave his goon squad backstage, we don't see Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed getting involved next weekend. And frankly, even if they were to get involved, but does this now open the door for a Randy Orton appearance in Perth at Crown Jewel? Let's say Breakker and Reed are not there. Let's say they are. Orton shows up to fight them off. Do we then have Randy Orton finally dropping Cody Rhodes with an RKO at Crown Jewel? And now there's a second question to this as well. Because Randy Orton is this beloved figure on the roster. And no matter where they are, what city they're in, what country they're in, you saw the reaction to him at Backlash in Lyon last year. But really anywhere they go. Fans love Randy Orton. Randy Orton is the elder statesman who can do no wrong. When and if that day comes, whether it's Crown Jewel or whenever it may be, that Randy Orton drops this man with an RKO, is it going to get the reaction that they're hoping for? Because I happen to think that there's going to be quite a few fans who are actually going to cheer when Randy Orton drops it with an RKO. And I feel that way. I would not have said that 6 months ago. I would not have said that a year ago. But I think enough time now has gone by where there's a risk here. You know, there is a risk involved here where you force the fans to choose between two people that they like, but there's one person they probably like a little more than the other. That would be very interesting to see. Especially fans like in another country, if they were to do it in Australia next weekend, I think would be very excited to see Randy Orton drop Cody Rhodes with an RKO. So maybe we are finally going to get some sort of development here between these two. Maybe there'll be a heel turn. Maybe there'll be an RKO. I don't know. But they certainly wanted to make you think that that was a possibility coming out of the show here tonight. We also had another entry in the U.S. Championship Open Challenge. Sami Zayn defending his championship has become the highlight of this show each and every single week. Tonight was no exception. Tonight, it was actually Carmelo Hayes who was going to answer the challenge for a second time. The Miz put an end to that. Yes, we finally have a split between Melo and Miz. They have now gone the way of most teams in WWE history. We got the breakup tonight. And in his place was Aleister Black, who answered the open challenge. And now this is actually a great illustration, I think, of how great the open challenge has been so far. This was probably the weakest of all of the entries into the open challenge, and it was still a great match. It was still a great match. The momentum, it just keeps on going. The streak is still alive of great U.S. championship matches on this show over the last several weeks. I very much enjoyed that match. The other thing I also enjoyed about this show, we got a bunch of faces tonight from NXT. We had two from the women's side who we didn't get to see nearly enough of. They had a very short match, but we had Sol Ruka and Zarya who wrestled on tonight's show. And we had Javon Evans. And this is not Javon's first time here on SmackDown. This is probably his at least second, if not third, appearance this year on the show. And they actually did a tag team match where it was Javon Evans and Rey Fénix, who we have seen this year teaming up on this show, taking on Los Garza again. So the second time in the last, probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 months that we've gotten that match. And that was a fun match. But I like adding some new faces from NXT because one of the things that I have talked about over and over again about this show is just how dull it is week to week. And then we talk about the women's division and how weak they are on the women's side compared to Mondays. It's just, you know, again, there's just such a disconnect between the two shows. It's just weighted so heavily more on Monday than it is on Friday when it comes to the women. I'm not sure why that is. You know, even when they get Bianca Belair back, they still have some real issues and holes that need to be filled there in that, you know, division on the show. So it's encouraging when we see Sol Ruka. It's encouraging when we see Zarya. And hopefully we will get to see a Jordynne Grace soon or a Marilyn Monroe, a Blake Monroe. I'd love to see Marilyn Monroe on this show too, but I don't think that's going to happen. So I like seeing some of the newer faces on this show because it just adds some new flavor that this show is greatly lacking. And we got that on the show tonight. We actually had a couple of really good matches and we had some NXT faces, and it made for what I thought was the more enjoyable of the SmackDown shows that I have seen, honestly, in the last month. I enjoyed SmackDown more this week than I did the last week and the week before that. And we'll talk about everything that happened on this show. Not only was Javon Evans on this show tonight, Javon Evans almost killed the cameraman on this show. Talk about that too. This is your SmackDown review here for Friday night, October 3rd, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you for closing out your week with me. Like and subscribe. Of course, Super Chats are open. We've already gotten a bunch of them from not only our friend Joseph, but a bunch of people. So we're going to hang out and have some fun later. You can add to that fun. I will read all of your messages and take all of your questions. Of course, you can always find the newer Super Chats listed down below in the description if you would like to do so. I do want to mention one thing here. We are not going to be live on Friday next week. So there will be no SmackDown review next Friday because I will be at the House of Glory show because we have our big... This is really going to be our biggest show of the year, the way this card is shaping up. We've got the Hardys are going to be on the show challenging for the HOG tag team titles in the same week that they will be on the CW challenging for the NXT tag team championship. So it is entirely possible that the Hardys could be leaving New York City next Friday with three tag team titles. They could very well be giving Mercedes a run for her money as the belt collectors. So they're going to be on the show. Karrion Kross, Killer Kross, the former Karrion Kross, is going to be making his HOG debut. And we have Leon Slater. Now, we talk about Javon Evans a lot, and I'm going to be talking about him and putting him over later. Extraordinarily talented, very young. Leon Slater is that for TNA. He's the TNA X Division champion. He is coming in to wrestle the Amazing Red. And that's just a sample of what we've got on tap. So that's next Friday. That's where I'll be. Sorry, SmackDown. So just FYI, there will be no live stream next Friday. If you don't see me, that's the reason why. So let's get into this SmackDown show here tonight because Booker T was back. I should mention that. He was back because Corey Graves is still convalescing at home. after the F5s that he took from Brock Lesnar. You know, the dude hasn't wrestled in 14 years. He took two F5s and he's near death. Nobody's heard from him. Nobody's seen him in weeks. Michael Cole keeps saying he'll be back in a couple of weeks. It's been a couple of weeks. He's still not back. And actually, Wade Barrett is the one going to Australia next week. So I don't think we'll be seeing Corey until probably the middle of the month. Probably not for another 2 weeks. So Booker T was with Michael Cole. Now, we had the WWE champion Cody Rhodes out to the ring first to open the show ahead of his main event with Randy Orton tonight against Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. And he asked the fans what they wanted to talk about, and he didn't get to talk about anything because he was interrupted instantly by Paul Heyman, who came out through the timekeeper's area with Breakker and Reed, and they all hopped up on the apron. When suddenly Randy Orton slithered into the ring right next to Cody. So we had a full party here. Heyman said they didn't come out here to talk to Cody. They actually wanted to talk to Randy Orton, who had not been returning their emails or their calls or their text messages. Boy, he's like a telemarketer. Aren't you sick of getting those phone calls, those potential spam calls on your phone? I feel like that it's been happening more now, like lately, than ever before. And supposedly, I mean, I thought I could have sworn I was on a do not call list, and yet these fucking calls keep coming through. And it's always the same, like first half of the phone number is the same, and then the last four digits are different. So even if you block the number, they just call you from another one. That's Paul Heyman with Randy Orton. And Randy Orton wouldn't return any of his messages. So he said that Orton knew, or rather, he knew that Orton was going to show up if they cornered Cody. This was their strategy coming out here. And he said that was not a spoiler, that was a prediction. He said that it was also a spoiler to say that Rhodes and Orton would lose later tonight, and he attempted to sow some division here between these two men. Heyman said that when they lose later, Orton won't be able to keep thinking that he could be a better WWE champion than Cody, and where Cody was when he needed him. That's what, so he prophesized this, that Randy would be thinking this to himself by the time this show was over tonight. And he said that their partnership cannot last. He said, that's not a prediction, that is a prophecy. I said before, they're not being very subtle about these teases, about Randy Orton finally just snapping and dropping Cody with an RKO. They wanted you to think that maybe it would happen tonight. It did not happen tonight, but the seeds have been planted. Talk about what happened in the main event later on. But again, I've been waiting so long for some sort of movement here in this story with Cody and Randy. At this point, I'd be okay if it was the other way around and Cody just kind of pulled a swerve and he turned heel and Orton was the one who was on the babyface side. But again, I still maintain it would be very dumb to turn Cody Rhodes heel just yet. There'll be a time and a place for it. But just now's not that time. Backstage, Carmelo Hayes was walking and The Miz stopped him and chewed him out for letting him get beat in their match last week. And Hayes very coldly said to Miz, well, you should have kicked out. He also said that this partnership between them was done because Miz was simply standing in his way when he was supposed to be watching his back. Hayes said that he would be cool about this because normally he shoots first. And he told Miz, we good, before walking off. Sami Zayn was in the ring for the United States Championship Open Challenge. Always the best part of these shows. Take your time, Oba. I laid it all out last week about bringing Oba Femi up to the main roster, how to do it when that time comes. Oba, take your time. No rush. Let this thing play out for a little while longer. Sami waited in the ring to find out who was going to be the man to come out and accept his challenge, and that man turned out to be Carmelo Hayes. And Carmelo Hayes stood on the stage with a mic and said that they had already done this thing, but the difference is that this time, he doesn't have anybody holding him back. So Melo said that Sami and he both know how great he is, and tonight in Cincinnati, he is the best he's ever been. Yes, but if he is the best that he's ever been, then how did he not sense that Miz was sneaking up behind him, which is exactly what the Miz did, and then the Miz dropped him with a skull-crushing finale. So they're done. right? I mean, they've been teasing it for a while, but now these two are done. It's about time. But that left us without a challenger, and I was like, okay, if they cut to the back right now, if they just move on and we get no open challenge this week, I'm going to be fucking furious. But thankfully, as Mello was laid out on the floor being tended to, Aleister Black just very casually strolled out and walked right past Mello, and he bent down, he picked up the microphone that Mello dropped on the floor, and he accepted the open challenge in his place. So we got Sami Zayn against Aleister Black, which, you know, at one time would have been a hell of an NXT TakeOver main event. You know, there are two stints in NXT back in the black and gold era. They didn't really overlap. They were like two passing ships in the night. But imagine back in that era, Sami Zayn against Aleister Black. That's a TakeOver main event, man. So Sammy landed a series of arm drags to kick things off. Black came back with a kick to the face. He was working Sammy over in the corner. Followed up with some kicks and a springboard moonsault that put Sammy down and put us in timeout. They came back from the break with Sammy battering him with punches in the corner, followed by some stomps to the head. Now Sammy clotheslined Black out of the ring, and he followed that up with an Arabian press moonsault to the floor. Back inside, Zayn caught Black with a Michinoku driver for a very close near fall. Black recovered and blasted him with a kick to the head and a German suplex. Zayn avoided a spin kick and attempted a Blue Thunder Bomb, but that got countered into a discus knee. And the challenger headed up top. Zayn intercepted him, turned things into a superplex that took both men out. As we got another break in the action here. Now, the good thing about watching this show with a VPN. See, I learned my lesson. You know what it was that sent me over the edge, right? It was when John Cena was on the show, his last appearance on SmackDown. And he was interrupted by Sami Zayn. This was the night that Sami Zayn asked for his blessing to restart the U.S. title open challenge that Cena had done many years ago. And they had that match, and despite all of the breaks, it was a great match, but it drove me absolutely fucking nuts because that opening segment probably went long, and they took so many breaks. It just completely, I mean, they just ripped the match to shreds. There were so many breaks and interruptions. And I said, you know what? I usually don't do it for SmackDown, but why am I not? I got the VPN. I'm paying for the VPN. I may as well use it for SmackDown. And sure enough, what I have come to find out is that these U.S. title open challenges are a lot more enjoyable when you watch with a VPN. So they go to commercial. I get to continue watching the action. And so during one of the commercial breaks here, they had this sequence. They were going back and forth and the crowd was getting into it. And Sammy hit a sunset bomb off the top rope for a great near fall. But now with both men on their feet, they exchanged strikes until Black gained the upper hand. In the middle of all of this, Sammy attempted a Huluva kick. Black was able to dodge it. He responded with a top rope Meteora for another near fall. And with the champion at his mercy, then Black was in the corner, and it looked like maybe he was getting all set up for Black Mass. Damian Priest arrives at ringside, and he's just casually strolling around outside, kind of in front of where the announcers are. And this provides a distraction, enough of one, for Sami Zayn to catch Black off guard in the corner with a Huluva kick. And then he pulls him into a Blue Thunder Bomb to win the match and retain the title. I am so happy that this appears to have become a normal thing now. I said last week, when I saw him do it the first time, I said, man, this needs to be the new closing combo for Sami Zayn in his matches. Let the Huluva kick be the setup to the Blue Thunder Bomb. It's the perfect combo. Changes things up a little bit. I've always been a fan of that Blue Thunder Bomb anyway. So this is the second week in a row now that he's done that. Perfect. Perfect. I'm very happy to see that be the new permanent move. After Sammy left the ring, Priest cleared off the announce desk. He hoisted Black up for a razor's edge and put him through the desk. And then he left. So we got the predictable finish. I mean, you had to know that Damian Priest was going to come out here and get his revenge at some point. Outside of the finish, this was another great match. And there has yet to be a bad one in the bunch. I don't know if this was match number five, four or five. I think five. Because we've had Cena, we've had Mello, We had Javon Evans. We had Ray Phoenix. And now we had this. So that would be five. And again, to illustrate how much fun this whole series has been so far and how great these matches have been, this one probably was the weakest of the bunch. I was going back and forth between this one and Melo, but I think it was this one. If you had to rank them all, this was probably the weakest of the bunch, especially with that finish. Although the Cena match, you know, obviously had a terrible fucking finish too. And even still, this was an excellent match. And again, maybe I'm looking at it differently than some people will who didn't have the benefit of seeing the action during some of the commercial breaks, because some of these interruptions sometimes can be jarring. And when you have a long match that goes through two or three commercial breaks and they're trying to put together this long 20-minute great match and you got, you know, a couple of commercial breaks, it really does. It's very intrusive on the action. So I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at it differently than some people will, but I'm telling you, this was an excellent match. I enjoyed this. Long may the open challenge continue. That's why I said, Oba, man, I don't know how they're going to debut him. I said this would be the best way to do so. Instead of throwing him right to the top of the food chain, this would be a hell of a way to do it. I mean, Sami Zayn is somebody who has equity on this show. He's been on the main roster for 10 years now. And, you know, clearly is a well-respected veteran of the ring, has been a WrestleMania main eventer before, has never been a world heavyweight champion on the main roster. They still have to tell that story. But I think Oba Femi debuting 1 week and being the one to just destroy Sammy, and Sammy's trying shit and it's not really working, and Oba just dominates in very convincing fashion and wins the United States Championship and then just goes on a tear. Now, of course, the problem that you could potentially run into then is that SmackDown is not exactly lighting the world on fire right now. Would he have enough challengers? Would he have enough interesting stories to tell with the way that this roster is currently constructed? Well, that's not my job. That's not your job. That's up to Triple H. That's up to Triple H and the Road Doggy Dog and whoever's in charge of this show to make sure that if you do call this man up, and it sure feels like they're going to call him up soon, and I think that SmackDown could use him more than Raw could. If you're going to do that, you need to have a plan for him. It's not just enough to know, okay, we're going to do this in his debut. You know, this is how we're going to introduce him. Ideally, you would look at this guy and say, okay, here's how we're going to introduce him. And here are the first two people that we're going to feud him with over the next few months. So I would hope they have a real plan mapped out for him. Is he going to be a heel? Is he going to be a babyface? When the time is right. And again, it doesn't have to be right this minute. It would not at all shock me to see him spend a little more time in NXT. But Oba Femi is ready for the main roster. And when he arrives, whatever they have him doing, he has to be a dominant force. And he has to be able to go in there and hang with people that have a hell of a lot more time on the main roster than him. And people like Sami Zayn, right, would do a lot. You know, you're rubbing shoulders with these guys and beating them in dominant fashion. That would be a hell of a way to introduce somebody new. But they could take their time with it. Don't be in a rush. We had Sol Ruka and Zarya, speaking of NXT. They were shown in the back talking to Nick Aldis. Chelsea Green walked up and offered them jobs in her secret harvest since they have an opening now. For those who don't know, Piper Niven is not going to be back for quite some time. She has a neck injury. I don't know if she's going to have surgery. It sounds very serious enough that she's out of the Secret Harvest, and she's certainly gone for at least the rest of the year. So, of course, they rejected her proposal, and they said instead they would prefer to turn their job opportunity into a match with Chelsea at Alba tonight. Nick Aldis liked the way that sounded, so he made the match official. It was Sol Ruka and Zarya against Chelsea and Alba. And the only problem here is that this did not last long enough to really mean anything. It didn't even go 4 minutes. But it was designed to get Sol Ruka's finisher over at the end, right? Because anytime she hits it, of course, people react to it. And the people were largely quiet here for this match, of course, until she hit the Soul Snatcher to Chelsea Green, and then they popped because it's just... it's a beautiful move to watch when she hits it. Is it very contrived? Sure, there are moves in wrestling that are contrived, but it still is very impressive when she's able to hit it, and it always gets a reaction. And so this was no different. She hits it to Chelsea Green and then pins her. What matters here is that we got some variety in a very bleak women's division here on this show. And Chelsea is another one. You know, Chelsea comes out here and she tries. Chelsea is entertaining, but Chelsea has now been doing the same shtick for months and months and months and months, which I actually think is kind of a disservice to her, because we know that she could be doing more than this. Yeah, the Secret Hervis gimmick, it's lame. It's just fucking lame. And honestly, you know, Piper Niven being out should have been an opportunity for them to change it up. And maybe that wouldn't be such a good thing for Alba Fire, unless they kept her with Chelsea but just dropped the Secret Hervis gimmick itself. I mean, it was always lame, but it's even lamer now after all this time. So they have them doing the same thing every single week. I wish they would change it up in some way and have Chelsea doing something else, but this is what they're doing. So Chelsea goes out there and she always, you know, doesn't just do what they obviously tell her to do, but she does it to the best of her ability. But it's just paint by number stuff at this point. So I wish they would do more with her. But again, it's a very bleak situation when you look at this women's division, who's over and who's not right now on this show. Jade Cargill is going to be out for a little bit after, you know, that gash on her head last week. Bianca Belair, I don't know what the fuck is going on with Bianca. They have Charlotte and Alexa. You know, they're the women's tag team champions. And even Charlotte and Alexa, they've been downplayed. You know, they're not doing much with them either. They had a quick segment in the back here on this show. As a matter of fact, that was the segment that came up next right after this. Because this win here with Sol Ruka and Zarya now sets them up for a women's tag team championship match at some point. And so we went backstage, and wouldn't you know, there they are, the women's tag team champions Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss, being interviewed by Kathy Kelly about what they just saw. Today's episode is sponsored by Mint Mobile. I don't usually like hearing the word no. I didn't like it when I was a kid and my parents would tell me no. I didn't like it when I asked that one girl out in college and she said no. No can be a dirty word, but not if you're still overpaying for wireless. That's when it's time to say yes to saying no. At Mint Mobile, their favorite word is no, as in no contracts, no monthly bills, no overages, no hidden fees, no BS. That's why I said yes to making the switch and getting premium wireless for just $15 a month. You're probably overspending right now for overpriced wireless with their ridiculous monthly bills, unexpected overages, and hidden fees. With Mint, plans start at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text, all delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone and your own phone number with any Mint Mobile plan, and bring along all of your existing contacts, too. Since I started using Mint, I've had no complaints about their service. It's been fast. It's been reliable. No dropped calls or, hey, you sound like you're underwater. All right, I've had that before with other carriers. Plus, when I get my bill each month now compared to what it used to be, it is staggering to think how much money I was throwing away for inferior service when I could have been with Mint all along. I'm glad I gave Mint a shot, and you will be too. You'll be very happy, especially with this special offer for Sound Off listeners. Ready to say yes to saying no? Make the switch at mintmobile.com/solomonster. That's mintmobile.com/solomonster. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. So the champions said that their potential challengers have proven themselves, but they need to be ready when it's their time to challenge for the belts. Charlotte gave a woo, tried to get Alexa to do the same, and Alexa said, no, I don't think so. So instead, Kathy Kelly did a woo, and that was it. That was what we got out of the tag team champions here on this show. By the way, after this, they aired a commercial. This is my first time seeing this. They aired a commercial for Alexa Bliss as a playable character in the new Call of Duty mobile game. Apparently, it's Alexa Bliss and The Undertaker are playable characters in the new Call of Duty game. When did they turn Call of Duty into fucking Fortnite? Like, when did this happen? I mean, I guess I guess they're making money off of it, but this is not what I remember Call of Duty being. When did they turn this game into Fortnite? What the fuck? Alexa Bliss? Throwing fucking Lily dolls in Call of Duty? What is this shit? It came back with a recap of Roman Reigns making his, I forgot what number return it is this year, but another return on Raw Monday night. Then we got a short backstage segment with Cody Rhodes talking to Randy Orton, saying that nobody should care what Paul Heyman said earlier. And Randy said it's all good, and they shared a fist bump. Is it, though? Is it, Randy? Is it really good? Nick Aldis was in the ring. There was also a table in the ring because we were having ourselves a contract signing. Because we got Crown Jewel coming up next Saturday, which includes a Crown Jewel championship match. I've noticed something in the last few weeks. Everybody on this show says Stephanie's name differently. And the way that Michael Cole says it is what annoys me the most. Now watch, somebody will be like, but that's the way her name is actually supposed to be pronounced. No, I mean, her name and the way most people on their own fucking television shows say it, and I think Stephanie herself even said that she was on the Bella's podcast months ago, is Stephanie Vicaire. Michael Cole, for whatever reason, seems to be incapable of saying it what I assume is the right way, since everybody else says it that way. He keeps calling her Stephanie Vicaire. Everybody else, including Nick Aldis, who seemingly said it right, said Stephanie Vicaire. Why does Michael Cole keep calling her Stephanie Vicaire? I mean, I know Naomi called her Stephanie Velcro, which was fucking great, but I don't understand it. I mean, it's not, I mean, there are names that are hard to pronounce. This is not one of them, though. I don't know why Cole seems to be incapable of saying it like everybody else. But anyway, Tiffany was out first, followed by Stephanie. And she spoke first. And she didn't have a whole hell of a lot to say here. She said that she knows she's only been champion for 2 weeks, but she's going to show Tiffany who she is. And she won't be losing any match. So next week, may the best woman win. Short and to the point. Tiffany took the microphone and said from the moment Stephanie got signed, she couldn't wait to step into the ring with her. But in Perth, at Crown Jewel, there will be one woman walking out of the Crown Jewel. Walking out of the crown. I love that. That's like a Bret Hart thing, right? At the Crown Jewel, I'm going to walk out as the Crown Jewel champion. It's like the SummerSlam. That's what she called it. She called it the Crown Jewel. And it will be her. Because it doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter if it's Australia. It doesn't matter if it's France. Wherever they may be, it is and always will be Tiffy time. Tiffany signed the contract. Stephanie signed the contract. The two of them shook hands. And then Nick Aldis stood in between the two of them as they posed for the hard cam with their respective titles. And that was it. The most boring contract signing in the history of wrestling. And I thought, there's no way that that is all this segment is going to be. There's no way. Why even have them in the ring? Why not shoot a vignette with them? Right? And just and do something in the back, like in Nick Aldis's office. But then we actually got the second half of this, which honestly wasn't very good either, but at least there was more to this. So Tiffany leaves, and she's backing her way down the aisle. When she suddenly gets jumped by the Women's United States champion, Julia. And Kiana James is there as well. And Julia and Kiana James make their way down to the ring with, and Kiana has a mic and she's cutting a promo on her way down. She says that, Nick Aldis, I've got a business proposal for you. She put over Stephanie and called her a star. They got in the ring at this point. She called Stephanie a star, but you're not a superstar yet. She could help take her there. Now, her rates are high. I think rates are high everywhere. But she could take her place as she has never been before, like the biggest superstar in WWE. She can make Stephanie the Women's Crown Jewel champion. Or you could end up like Tiffany back there. And as soon as she said that, that was Tiffany's cue to drag Kiana out of the ring. So then we were left with Julia and Stephanie. Stephanie tried to hit Julia with her SVB bomb, and Julia escaped. So we ended with Tiffany and Stephanie back in the ring together, and they were standing side by side, but also kind of staring each other down. And they announced it later on. It is official, but I didn't need the fucking graphic on screen to tell me how this was going to end up. Your first thought is that, okay, we're getting a tag team match next week on SmackDown, which in fact we are. It's going to be Tiffany Stratton and Stephanie Vicaire, Cole, against Julia and Kiana James. Can they coexist? Can they coexist? That's the match they're doing next week. And I wish that the Julia and Kiana pairing was actually over, because people didn't care about this. When they showed up, people didn't care. When Kiana talked about her business proposal, people didn't care. It was even sadder watching Stephanie and Julia in the ring, because we know that there's history there between the two of them back to when they first debuted in NXT within a matter of weeks of each other. And they had that match on the Roadblock special at the theater at Madison Square Garden earlier this year when they did champion against champion, title for title. They had that great match. So there's history there. I'm watching these two in the ring and I'm like, man, that was only, I mean, it was earlier in the year, but it was still this year. And Stephanie is more over now than she was then. She's as over, if not more so now than she was then. But Julia has taken such a backslide that it makes me sad. You know, it'll be cool to see them back in the ring together, though, even if just in a meaningless tag team match. And they really aren't going to do more than that because they're on separate brands. Not that that ever stopped them before, but it was really striking, you know, watching the two of them in the ring together and just how little people really cared, you know, when they came face to face. Earlier today, they had a little footage here that they showed us from the backstage area where Nick Aldis and Javon Evans were walking out of Aldis's office. With Aldis putting him over, he said, look, I know you got a lot going on, especially with this NXT TNA showdown coming up this Tuesday, but you've got a bright future, so let's keep in touch. Rey Fénix showed up and he put over Javon's match with Sami Zayn last week, but it also made him think if they could, you know, get in the ring together one-on-one and do something similar. And Javon was very excited about this, but Los Garza interrupted. Angel pointed out that Evans is a rookie, and he also pointed out that he and Berto already beat the two of them before. And so Evans suggested they run it back, and Nick Aldis liked that idea, and so did I. He said, how about we do it tonight? I'm like, fuck yeah, I like that idea a lot, actually. So we got Rey Fénix and Javon Evans against Los Garza. And I don't mind them running this one back, because the one and only time they did this match previously was back in May. So there's been a few months that have gone by. And Los Garza came out on the winning end of that match. That was even before they started pairing Fénix off with Andrade. So this was many months ago. But before the match, we got an ad break. And then on the flip side of that ad break, we got a Jacob Fatu vignette. In it, he said that he's tired of people lying, he's tired of people crying, wasting time on their BS stories. He had to do what was best with Drew last week, and that was shut his ass up. See, people like to talk a lot until the situation gets spicy. But him, he was broke, he was foaming at the mouth, so what do you think he's going to do when someone disrespects him? He's going to apply pressure and wake their ass up for sleeping on him. But let's keep it 100. He's fresh off the scale with it. It just sounds so much better coming out of his mouth than it does coming out of mine, but I'll try. So let's keep it 100. He's fresh off the scale with it. You coming for me? Goes, uh-uh. You're going straight to the bottom, and to the top is where he's going. And if you didn't know, Jacob Fatu is all gas and no brakes. You know what I mean? There you go. Jacob Fatu, ladies and gentlemen. Sounds a lot better coming out of his mouth, I will say. I'm glad this man is back on TV. This is the sort of thing we should be getting more. We should be hearing from him more often. So we got to hear from him a little bit last week when he came out to confront Drew McIntyre. We got a vignette from him here. This is good. He vanished there for a while. After SummerSlam, he basically vanished, but for maybe one TV match. And him against Drew, you know, it sure felt to me like they were going to do that match at Crown Jewel. and they still might, but there was no indication of them going in that direction, or I feel like they would have announced something tonight. And they didn't announce it for the show next week or anything. So there's still time. They could add it. I think where they're at now, they're already at five matches. And we know how Triple H is about the match, you know, the number of matches on these fucking shows. But Fatu and Drew is going to happen. It's just a matter of when they do it. And when they do it, I think it's going to be a great match. But we didn't get Drew McIntyre on the show at all tonight. But then we got the other match. We got Rey Fénix and Javon Evans against Los Garza. Fénix entered the match after the opening stretch with Evans and took flight with a tornado dive that took Angel out. Birdo then took out Fénix with a dive of his own. So this was followed by Evans soaring with a leap out over the top rope that took everybody out as the action went to a commercial break. Angel and Birdo, they isolated Evans during that break. They worked him over. Fénix did get the tag back into the ring. He tried for a crossbody. This actually was like the big spot of the match. Well, actually, I take that back. This was like the second biggest spot of the match. But they did this spot where Angel caught him on a crossbody attempt, and he's still holding him, right? Then Evans got back in the ring. Birdo cut him off, though. Birdo picks up Javon Evans and places him on Angel's shoulders in a powerbomb position. And effectively, Evans is basically sitting on top of Rey Fénix, who is still being held. So Angel is now holding both of these men up. And Birdo comes off the ropes and hits a disaster kick, which knocks Evans down to the mat. At the same time, Angel then drops Fénix with the world's strongest slam. Only for a near fall, but that got a nice reaction. That was kind of a cool spot. They showed Evans on the apron after having a fit on the apron. He was starting to like shake. He was getting the shakes. I don't know if he was, I don't know, man. Maybe he's, you know, downing those energy drinks in the back. I don't know, but he looked like, remember the Undertaker that time? It was some kind of, it was like a house show match on a European tour. Because the only footage I ever saw of this is fan cam footage. I'm kind of hoping that they have that match in the vault. And maybe the Vault channel on YouTube will put it up one day. But Undertaker is, I don't even know who he was teaming with. But he desperately wants the hot tag into the ring. And he starts pacing back and forth and grabs a bottle of water and pours it over his head. He's like shaking the bottle of water. Like, I've never seen him like this before. This was not what Javon Evans did, but he was kind of freaking out, you know, out there on the apron. So he did get the hot tag. He ran wild. The problem is he ran a little too wild. And he flew through the ropes for a dive that was meant to take out Angel. The problem is he took out the cameraman, or at least he almost took out the cameraman. He actually did collide with the camera and the cameraman, but to his credit, the cameraman never went down. He fumbled the camera a little bit, but he quickly recovered. He never went down. He no-sold it. He no-sold the suicide dive. But the cameraman, and you can see like the last shot before they cut away was Angel, you know, who is supposed to be the recipient of this dive. He's kind of down like on his knees looking up at the cameraman like, are you okay? And by the way, somebody in the chat just asked about Santos Escobar. I forgot where I saw this, but he may have a contract coming up. So I'm wondering if that might be why we haven't seen him on TV the last few weeks. I'll have to double check on where I saw that and if that's accurate, but he may have a contract coming up soon. So I don't know what his status is actually going to be right now. That may not be a good sign for his future, but yes, he was not with Los Garza tonight. But back inside, Fénix got a blind tag. Evans then dropped Angel with an OG cutter. I mean, he went flying through the air. And Fénix finished Birdo off with a Mexican muscle buster to win it for his team. This was fun. It's a fun match. And outside of almost killing the cameraman, this was a good showing for Javon Evans. This is kind of like a proving ground for him. And I don't think it's a bad idea at all to expose the audience to him here and there. But I do think that if this were the prelude to a full-time main roster call-up, and I don't think it is. Like, if you remember the backstage segment with Aldis is like, you know, let's keep in touch. It wasn't like he was imminently going to sign him to a contract, because that would be a mistake. It's too soon. It's too soon. He's 21 years old. And he's killing it in NXT right now. But I think, and there are situations where it might make sense to call up a 21-year-old or a 20-year-old or a 22-year-old, right? It might make sense. But in this case, I feel like you'd be rushing him up for no reason. Even though we do need more fresh faces on this show, I think it would be a mistake for him to be one of them, because I think he is someone who would benefit from getting an NXT championship run. I think you put the championship on him there and give him a chance to actually lead and be the face of that brand for a while. Because that's really one of the things that NXT is good for. If you have somebody, and clearly they're very high on him, now he's one of their hot prospects. You have somebody like that, I do think it's important to kind of get a read on how they react when you put the world championship on them, right? The NXT championship. So they're in all the main events now, and they're working with all the top names on that brand, and they're the face of that brand. How he does, you know, take a measure of how he does in that situation. And then when the time is right, you call him up to whatever show needs him more, whether it's Raw or whether it's SmackDown. But to rush him up now would just be very premature. It's not something that I think would be wise for them to be doing. Now, backstage, Kathy Kelly asked Damian Priest how far he was willing to go here in this war with Aleister Black. Priest said that everyone's luck runs out at some point. There are consequences. He is those consequences. Kit Wilson interrupted in his wheelchair. This is the new weekly comedy bit. He wheels himself up. He gives Damian Priest a golf clap. Priest thinks, power is intimidation, he says, when really it's just overcompensation. And he will overthrow the toxic aggression era. Yes, we are no longer in the ruthless aggression era. We are in the toxic aggression era. And he will show him what true masculinity is as he rose up from his chair. Priest said that Wilson really is positively masculine. And he shoved him back down in his chair, and then he rolled him off camera. I guess into a bunch of pipes and shit, because he crashed into something. We just couldn't see what it was. And then Priest challenged Aleister Black to a last man standing match on SmackDown in Perth next Friday. After this, we got another vignette with Solo Sikoa, who was with his MFTs. Oh, joy. I will say this. They were very heavily focusing on the MFTs there for a while. I mean, through a good chunk of the summer. The way that we get the Vision on Raw every week, well, now it's Raw and SmackDown, but the way we get the Vision on Raw every week, they were doing that with the MFTs. And the MFTs are not a strong enough heel group to be focused on as the heel group on the brand. Okay, that sucks. So I will say it's been better with them not having, you know, the primary focus here on this show. They're not eating up main events. They're not eating up opening segments. The last few weeks, they've been relegated to these taped vignettes with Solo Sikoa sitting at, you know, the head of the table, basically, and he's flanked by different members of his family, of his crew. So here, this one was really him talking about and focusing on Tala Tonga. Tongaloa was standing on one side. JC Mateo was standing on the other. But he mentions Tala Tonga, and Tala Tonga very dramatically walks into the room, and he gets in between them. He's standing right behind Solo. And Solo says he needs Tala Tonga to show everyone who he is. He says his loyalty will be rewarded so long as he's a member of his family tree. Tala Tonga then said he loves Solo. Thank you, Tala Tonga. Solo says he loves all of them, but there's something missing. Says something is missing to make them complete. And once he finds that missing part, everyone is on notice. So are we talking about the return of Tama Tonga here, or is that a little too obvious? Because I'm assuming this is the return of Tama Tonga. Tama Tonga's been gone for months. I don't even know what the injury was. He just disappeared one week. So I'm assuming that Tama Tonga is coming back, and then the family will be reunited. Unless there's some other Samoan in the pipeline that they've been hiding for. Well, I guess Lance out of Hawaii, right? Unless there's some other Samoan in the pipeline or Tongan that we're not aware of that they're going to slide in there. But I'm assuming that's the return of Tama Tonga. In the back, Kathy Kelly interviewed the Street Profits and B-Fab. She said the Profits had another shot at the tag team titles next week against the Wyatt Six. Are they on the same page? B-Fab assured her that they were on the same page. Angelo Dawkins said that this right here ain't worth giving up. Montez Ford said the Wyatts can play all the mind games they want because next week, they're not just fighting for the championships, they're fighting for each other. All of a sudden, on the screen behind them, we see the Wyatt Six. Or the Wyatt Five. We never heard from Uncle Howdy or Bo Dallas. I don't think he was there, but Eric Rowan was there with the other family members, and he said they may be going into this fight as brothers, but will they consider themselves family when everything around them comes crashing down? Joe Gacy said that their house is burning. Dexter Loomis said that they will choke on the smoke that they claim to desire. Nikki Cross said that nothing more than a pile of ashes. Eric Rowan said, from their family to yours, and they all laughed, and then he said, run. Whatever. Who cares? It's the same shit all the time. There's no variation to anything. Get the spooky promo, we'll get the match next week. Rinse, repeat with this stuff. I'm sorry, I can't get into this. But they closed the show with Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton against Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed, though, apparently, I believe this comes from Fightful, has re-signed with WWE for what is said to be a long multi-year deal. So Bronson Reed is not going anywhere. He has no reason to. Where would he go? Where the fuck is he going to go? He's in the top storyline, the top heel faction on both these shows. Where is he going? He's working with Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. I was going to say LA Knight, but I mean, you know, in Triple H's WWE, I don't know if that necessarily means anything. Not for LA Knight, it doesn't. But anyway, so this was our main event this week. Orton faced off with Bron Breakker to start. Clotheslined him out of the ring over the top as they went to commercial, not even a minute into this match. Oh my. During the break, Breakker, this was during commercial, he went for his leaping clothesline that he does off the apron onto the announce desk. But he jumped off, Orton moved, and so Breakker landed on his feet, and then Orton grabbed him, picked him up, and dropped him on top of the announce desk. But then Paul Heyman distracted the referee, got Cody to come into the ring. The referee was holding Cody back and had his back turned when, on the outside, Bronson Reed dropped Randy on top of the announce desk instead. And when they came back from the break, Randy was the one who was in trouble. But he got the hot tag to Cody, who tried to knock down Reed twice. No luck. But the disaster kick did it. Reed got sent outside. Then Breakker got in. He got clotheslined out. Cody followed with a suicide dive. Back inside, Reed got Cody down, and now Cody was the one in trouble. And Reed tagged in Breakker, who hit the ropes. He came off with a clothesline, turned Cody inside out, and took us into one last commercial break. And it was a bad time for Cody. All throughout the break, he took nothing but punishment from these men, even as they came back. But then Reed went for a standing senton. Coley Rhodes. We're going to call him Coley. That's what Michael Cole would call him. Maybe he'll be managed one day by Stephanie Vaquer. Cody Rhodes rolled out of the way. He has hope. Randy Orton was reaching desperately for the tag, and he got it. Snap power slam to Breakker. Reed tagged back in. He got tagged with a snap power slam as well. Reed, though, got back up almost instantly, and he dropped Orton with the jagged edge, the Death Valley driver, and he signaled that it was over, and he headed up top. Orton, though, popped up, cut him off on the ropes. Orton climbed up to join him. He delivered a superplex from the middle rope. He covered Reed. Breakker, though, broke up the pin. Coley Flower. He's got some of that Coley Flower ear. Is that what you're saying, Leopoldo? Coley Flower. Oh, my. Cody fought with Breakker, outside the ring. Breaker got Cody up against the timekeeper's barricade. And we see this spot all the time, right? How many fucking times in a given week do we see the spot on both shows, but especially in WWE, where somebody's by the barricade and somebody comes in and the spear through the barricade? It's become the go-to spot. So I can appreciate Bron Breakker put a little something different on it this time. Because Cody is over by the timekeeper's barricade. Bron Breakker gets back up on the apron and he puts as much distance as he can between him and where Cody is, because he's going to get a running start. And he runs across the apron and he dives off with a flying knee strike, and both men go crashing through the barricade. It's a spot that we've seen 1,000 times on the floor, but he put a little something different on it. Good. I like that. Try to change it up a little. If you're going to do the spot, at least try to do it differently. And it looked, you know, it looked cool. So they both go crashing through the barricade. In the ring, Orton dropped Reed with the draping DDT. And it was time for the RKO. And he's banging on the mat. He's getting ready for the finish. But Paul Heyman climbs up on the ropes to provide the distraction. So the referee comes over, right? The referee is distracted. Why does he do this? So that Seth fucking Rollins can get into the ring and stomp Randy Orton's brains in. And at that point, Bronson Reed drags Orton over to the corner. He goes up top for, say it with me, the
Tsunami Splash.
Squashes him. 1, 2, 3. Bronson Reed gets the pin on Randy Orton and wins it for the Vision here in the main event. So Rollins gets back in the ring and Seth Rollins celebrates with them and they left the ring. Rollins, though, stops and he orders Breakker and Reed to the back. I've got to do this on my own. So he sends them off. And so now it's just Seth Rollins and it's just Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman has a big smile on his face and Seth Rollins is not smiling. Seth Rollins is actually now starting to sport a very angry expression on his face. And he slowly turns to look at Heyman. Heyman's looking at him. And Heyman says, "Don't do this. Don't do this. He's in your head. Don't do it." But instead, he runs into the ring. He's going to stomp Cody. Cody moves out of the way, though, and he hooks him for a crossroads, and he drops him. He gets the drop on Seth Rollins instead. And Michael Cole on commentary reiterates that when it's one-on-one, Cody has Seth's number. Not for long, he doesn't. But for the time being, he does. That's how SmackDown went off the air. Well, look, you had to know the Vision was not losing back-to-back matches in the same week. They lost to the Usos on Monday night. Of course, they're going to get their win back tonight. So there was really no surprise there. Otherwise, this was your standard tag team main event with the Vision that we have seen many, 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 many times over the last couple of months. The match was fine for what it was. It wasn't anything terribly exciting. It was a perfectly competent wrestling match, the purpose of which was to set up what happened at the finish. It actually served two purposes here. To further the tension between Cody and Seth, because that's your main event. Right, unless they throw John Cena and AJ Styles in the actual main event, I would assume the main event of the show is going to be Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins because the Crown Jewel title is on the line, whatever the fuck that means. But there's a lot of history between those two. That's the dominant storyline heading into this PLE next weekend. That's your main event. So all this does is it illustrates how badly Cody Rhodes has gotten into this man's head, Seth Rollins has gotten to. Cody has found a way to get under his skin. Plant the seeds of doubt. You can't do it. You can't beat me. Every time we get in the ring together, I've beaten you. And you can't do it by yourself. You need help. You need your goons. You need your guys. You can't do it on your own. Right? So that was the story they were telling there. But also, there's the Randy Orton aspect to this. And it goes back to what I talked about at the beginning of the review, which is they were being very overt about it here on the show tonight with Heyman at the beginning. You know, when this night is over, you're going to be asking the question, you know, where was Cody when I needed him? And sure enough, right, Cody wasn't there when he needed him. He was lying in a heap on the ground after being knocked through the barricade. Not really his fault, But is Randy Orton going to see it that way? Is Randy Orton going to be so forgiving after this? Because Randy Orton has taken a lot of bullets for Cody Rhodes over the past year, year and a half, right? That was the whole basis of the Kevin Owens feud with Cody. At what point does Randy Orton say enough is enough? And he's not going to be so friendly and forgiving anymore. So we head into Crown Jewel next weekend where Seth may not want Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker out there because he's so gotten to, he has to prove that he can do it by himself and not use his men. Randy Orton is not his man, though. Randy Orton doesn't even necessarily need to get involved in the match, although I suspect he will because I just don't see Seth Rollins beating Cody straight up. I just don't see it. But Seth is going to win that match. Is it going to be because Randy Orton provides the unintended assist? Or however they want to set it up, is the final image we get on that show next Saturday Randy Orton dropping Cody Rhodes with an RKO? Does that lead us to Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton for the WWE Championship at Survivor Series? Now remember, there's a Saturday night's main event show before that. I think November 2nd? November 1st or November 2nd. Before the Cena retirement show, there is actually two Saturday night's main events left this year. And I would imagine there's going to be a WWE Championship match on that show. It could be Cody and Orton. I don't see Cody and Orton on that show, but you could still do Cody and Drew. I mean, it's just kind of weird to just totally move on from Drew and Cody. Do they go back to that? Do we end up with some combination of all three, you know, Cody, Drew, and Randy? But I could see Cody and Randy, whether it's one-on-one or in a triple threat match, fighting for the championship at Survivor Series, you know, and Cody not being involved in War Games. I could see that. But they're teasing it now so much that you have to imagine that the plan is finally, after all this time, to do something with Cody and Randy, and maybe that even takes us into WrestleMania season. But you don't have to wait that long to do the first match between them. The first of what should be several matches. Because a Cody and Randy thing ain't going to be like Cody and Drew where you do one fucking match and then you're done. Right? I see people using this expression. I don't want to use this expression. I'm not going to use the expression that I see people using that I have in my head right now because it makes my fucking skin crawl. People eat food. They don't eat wrestling angle. Anyway, so this is an angle that can easily, you know, take them into WrestleMania season if that's what they wanted to do. That's really the only question I have about next weekend. Is Randy involved or not? Or are they going to drag this out a little bit longer and save the RKO for a later date? Cody is going to get dropped. Just a matter of when. But I felt like this week's show, it passed, you know, a lot quicker than it normally does for me. I enjoyed more about this SmackDown than I have the last few weeks. So I enjoyed it. None of these shows, let's not mistake things here, okay? None of these shows right now are very exciting. None of them are very exciting. Wrestling is in, I don't even want to blame it on the time of year because things do tend to slow down around this time of year. And then, of course, football starts up and not everybody is watching all the shows. I don't really give a shit about that because that doesn't really affect me. I'm watching the shows every week regardless. But a lot of these shows right now, wrestling just feels very boring and very cold. And I'm waiting for that one big either breakout star or breakout story that can really kind of reel me in and help guide these shows. We don't have that right now. We don't. There's some possibilities. And we know how Triple H likes to really drag it out and milk it, sometimes too long. But I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for that, even just that one thing to really kind of reel me in on these shows that I could look at and go, okay, this is getting real good now. You know what I mean? We don't have that right now. Just in general. Fucking boring. That goes for all of these shows. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So I'm waiting because it has to be coming, right? Something has to happen. Something has to give to add a little spice to these shows. But as these recent shows go, this was one of the better ones. think that's the biggest compliment I've paid SmackDown in quite some time. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll, see what you guys thought of this show. What did you think of SmackDown here from Cincinnati? 57.6% thumbs up, 42.4% thumbs down. At Solomonster, if you want to chime in with your vote, you may go ahead and do so. Actually, let me run through the SmackDown lineup here for Perth next Friday on the eve of Crown Jewel. This is, no, don't. Barry says, insert final boss, of course, no. Final Boss is, he's aiming to get an Oscar. Smashing Machine came out today. I haven't seen it, but I've heard good things about it. So, Final Boss has more important things to occupy his time with than coming back and then being insulted by all the wrestling fans who were pissed that he's back to interject himself into things, only to then turn around and leave again. But next week on SmackDown, tag team title match, Street Profits challenge the Wyatt Six. Stephanie and Tiffany team up to take on Julia and Kiana James. We have Last Man Standing with Damian Priest and Aleister Black. And another U.S. title open challenge. Who will accept the open challenge in Australia? Is it going to be an Aussie? They don't have too many of those. I mean, Bronson Reed is, and Grayson Waller. Better not be Grayson Waller. I don't know who it's going to be. But I'm looking forward to finding out who. Unfortunately, I will not be here next Friday. So again, just a little reminder, I will be over at the NYC Arena, big House of Glory show next Friday. Probably going to end up being our biggest of the year. We've added a sixth row. We're usually pretty good with like first four rows, maybe five, and then we have general admission and stage seating. We've already sold out six rows. And most of the stage seating, there's a little bit left, and then some GA tickets, of course, HOGWrestling.net, but that's where I'll be. So I'll have to play catch-up with SmackDown at some point next week, and I will be here for Crown Jewel. I'll let you guys know when I'm going to go live. The show airs at 8 o'clock in the morning here. I'm not going live as soon as it's over, but probably sometime mid-afternoon next Saturday is what we're looking at, but I'll keep you guys posted on that once I get a better handle on when we're going to do that. I haven't quite figured that out yet. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. No one plans for hair loss. You might think about it from time to time and get all freaked out about it. Then you say to yourself, I'm not there yet. I've still got time. But time has a funny way of creeping up on you. And one day you look in the mirror and you realize, oh no, time's up. You don't have to be freaked out anymore. I've got good news for you. Through Hims, you can take steps to get your hair back and do so with confidence and access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss in its tracks and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops to jump through, just ingredients with a track record of results. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. No hidden fees, no surprise costs, just real personalized care on your schedule. Think of Hims as your digital front door that gets you back to your old self with simple 100% online access to trusted treatments for real health concerns all in one place. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/solomonster. That's hims.com/solomonster for your free online visit. hims.com/solomonster. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Let's see. Where are we on the likes, by the way? Forgot to mention that. Ooh, 287. That's awful. Man, you guys are letting me down on that. But we might backdoor our way in to be the booker because we're 8 out of 10 on the goal there. So we may end up doing be the booker regardless. But only one round. Ricky says SmackDown starts early next Friday. Use VPN. Yeah, I mean, I guess on Netflix it would probably be airing live, which would be 8 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. So, yeah, might have to double check on that, but that is true. So if you want to watch SmackDown earlier, you probably can, and just use my code and sign up for ExpressVPN. You'll get a few extra months when you sign up. Yeah, SmackDown comes on in the morning. It doesn't change anything. I will have no time that day. It doesn't matter what time it airs. I will not be doing SmackDown live next Friday. That is not going to happen. All right, let's take a look at your super chats here. We got a whole bunch of them to get through. We got Joseph Stewart, of course, as usual, starting us off. Wants to know, with a 999, would you like to see Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan do an entrance like Macho Man and Sherry did when Macho Man was King Macho? I mean, you could. It sounds like a very obnoxious entrance for a heel to do. Didn't they come out on a lowrider once? I think they should just kind of do their own thing. That really only makes sense if you're like the king and the queen. I don't think it really works for them. Maybe bring the lowrider out again like they did that one time. Joseph says, were you a fan of Batman villains Clayface and Man-Bat? I've never heard of Man-Bat before. Clayface, no. Man-Bat, I'm not familiar with. I'm familiar with Dingbat. I encounter many of them on social media on a daily basis. Buy or sell. Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze in Batman and Robin, or Arnold Schwarzenegger as Turbo Man in Jingle All the Way? I'm going Jingle All the Way, man. Jingle All the Way is a favorite of mine. I'm a Jingle All the Way guy. Also, Joseph says, have you seen Santa Claus, the movie from 1985 with Dudley Moore as the Elf Patch, John Lithgow as the villain BZ, and the Big Lebowski himself, David Huddleston, as Santa Claus? I think I saw that movie many years ago, but I honestly don't remember too much about it. So I want to say yes. I just don't remember too much about the movie. You do remind me, though, about Dudley Moore, and it's actually very sad how his life came to an end. He was very sick in his final few years. So that was very sad, the way he went out. Joseph says, did you like how they incorporated the Joker in the Mask of the Phantasm story in Batman Mask of the Phantasm? I did. I thought it was actually very clever and very well done the way they weave that in there, right? How he was, spoiler, he was the hitman on Andrea's father. I thought that was well done. Hey, Slime Gumby, what's going on? I would say email me and send me a separate reminder. I'll tell you though, at the moment, right now, it's not really active. So, I mean, I can give it to you, but at the moment, there's not a lot going on in there as I try to figure out how we're going to proceed on that front. I set it up, initially as like a test thing, and you're not missing anything at the moment in there. Just FYI. Joseph says, buy or sell Julie Newmar as Catwoman, Eartha Kitt as Catwoman, or Lee Merriweather as Catwoman? Eartha Kitt. Joseph says, what was your favorite scene in the Batman 66 movie? My God, I actually saw that long time ago. I think the most ridiculous scene in the movie is where he's trying to throw the bomb away. He's holding this giant like giant bomb, like picture Ba-Bomb from like Mario Kart, but like five times the size. And he's holding this bomb and he's running around telling people, get out of the way, get out of the way. And like people are just like in his way and casually walking around. And then eventually he throws the bomb away. But like it's just comically ridiculous. You just can't help but laugh watching it. And then there's another scene in there with the rubber shark. He's supposedly being attacked and bitten by a shark as he's hanging from this ladder from a helicopter. And the shark is so... the shark is so obviously fake. Like, they don't even hide. I mean, it's 1966, so... But he's, like, trying to shake the shark off, and it's just... It's just ludicrous. Those are probably my favorite scenes, honestly. But thank you, Joseph. Joseph says, did you know they are making a movie about Batman villain Clayface? You're a Clayface fan, huh? I did not know that. But again, Clayface is not really one of my favorites. Buy or sell Batman villains or Spider-Man villains? That's a good one. I got to go Batman. I got to go Batman on that. Is Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus's gimmick based off Mowgli and Baloo from the Jungle Book? I think so. I think it might be. I think that might have been the inspiration for it. Were you a fan of Jim Carrey's movie Liar Liar? Yeah, I liked it. It's not like one of my all-time favorites or anything, but I enjoyed it. Buy or sell The Mask or Ace Ventura? The Mask. Did you know Michael Keaton was supposed to return as Batman in the Nicolas Cage Superman movie in a cameo? I think I remember hearing about that. Joseph says, do you remember in the WWF Attitude video game, before they wrestled, they would say their quotes and Kane talked as a robot in the video game? Oh, I remember that. I remember was it Attitude or Warzone? It might have been Attitude. They would have these like cut scenes where the wrestlers would cut a promo. And Ahmed Johnson would cut a promo, and I could barely understand what he was saying. He was always so... intense, and just I was like, they needed fucking subtitles for his promos. They needed them on TV also, but we never got them.
I am the learning tree.
Oh man, look at this guy, pumpkin head.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yeah, all right, thank you, Juliet. Hoofman says that was Warzone. We did hit the goal, 10 out of 10. So you're getting at least the one round of Be the Booker. We're still at 327 likes, so we still have some work to do. Yeah, Roderick, speaking of us, wow, it's kind of eerie. I brought up Ahmed Johnson. He was just in the news yesterday. He was in a pretty bad car accident, but made it out mostly okay. I think he might have had some broken ribs maybe, or... injured ribs, but otherwise he's okay. I saw the picture of the car. I assume it was his car, and it was all mangled, so thankfully he's okay. Death Scythe. This is not just for Solomonster, but for everyone in the chat. These two games have great music, but are notorious for being rushed and buggy. With that being said, buy or sell Sonic 06 or Crash Twinsanity. I leave that to you. I didn't play either one of them. I can't comment on either of those games. So I leave that to the chat. Joseph says, what is your... Yeah, I should mention that. I think it was a drunk driver he got hit by. And I'm sure... I didn't read it in the story, but I'm sure the drunk driver made it out okay. Because that's usually how these fucking stories end. Joseph says, what is your favorite Kevin Smith movie? Clerks. That's Scythe. Every time I hear the song, What Does the Fox Say? I always say the fox says chaos reigns.
Hati, 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 ho. Hati, 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 ho.
Why'd you make me think of that song, though? Do you realize that that song, I don't remember the last time I checked, but that song on YouTube had like a billion views. Like, a billion views for the dumbest song I've ever heard in my entire life. Amazing. Joseph says, who do you see winning the WWE Championship first? Dominic Mysterio or Jacob Fatu? Jacob Fatu. Buy or sell, Bruce and Selena or Clark and Lois? Bruce and Selena. Holiday 197, hey Solo, says, when Priest and Black have their blow-off match for their feud, Black needs to go over. Says, winning the match does nothing for Priest, and Black could revisit a match with Sami Zayn and maybe even win the U.S. title. I tend to agree that Black needs to win that match. I think it would be more important for him to win that match than it would be for Damian Priest. Solo's favorite sicko. Is AEW Shockwave still happening? Need more AEW. Shockwave is not happening. There were Shockwaves sent through AEW today when the ratings came out for Dynamite. The lowest of all time, 465,000. There's your Shockwave. We have horrifying dried chicken without flavor. That is very horrifying. Says it's the month of October, and he is gray, deform, deform? You mean deformed, infested, and completely horrifying? Yes, he has changed gimmicks here. Thank you, Dry Chicken. GMB is with us. Javon will be a lot of kids' first favorite wrestler. He's a lot of fun to watch. So if he stays on that path and keeps getting better and they don't lose faith in him for any reason, then, you know, he's going to be, put it this way, he's going to be somebody that the kids are going to be buying up his toys, buying up his merch. And if you can make the money on the merch end of things, they like that a lot. They like that an awful lot. I think he'll do well. Dry Chicken says, next year, Cody Rhodes needs to start wearing a green suit attire, a chain necklace, a custom silver nose guard, and a green hood. Sure, they want to bury him. Solo's favorite sicko. Now, did you know that Henry Cavill auditioned to play Superman in Superman Returns, but the role instead went to Brandon Routh? Yeah, didn't they say he was too old or something? There was some excuse that they had, why? Yeah, Drew McIntyre is going to be in this new Highlander movie, but production has been delayed because Henry Cavill is in the movie, and McIntyre actually plays his brother Angus. But I guess in pre-production, Cavill got injured. So I think they're starting filming in January, which will be interesting to see if that affects McIntyre's involvement in the Royal Rumble. I don't know how big of a role he has, but I mean, if he's the brother of the main character, probably a fairly important role, I would think. Dry Chicken says SmackDown needs sugar and spice, salt and pepper. Ragnarok with the five, another tag team main event of the Vision versus insert babyface team here. I'll jump, Solo. I swear to God, I'm gonna jump. Happy Friday, brother. Don't jump yet. You still got some more Vision main events to sit through, just like the rest of us. They're not done yet. Death Scythe says, I know I said this last week. I hope the WWE Championship match at Survivor Series is Cody, Drew, Orton, Fatu. Obviously, Jacob won't win, but it could bring him to the main event level What's the harm? What are your thoughts? You could do that. You could, if Drew and Fatu play this out for a bit and they can come back to Drew and Cody, you could loop all four of them together. I don't really like, just generally, I don't like just throwing out these four ways and stuff, but if it makes sense and they could really heat up this issue with Jacob and Drew and come back to Drew wanting one more shot at the championship with Cody, and then you got Randy involved, and yeah. As long as it makes sense, I'm okay with that. Jeremy Watley, the Javon Evans and Leon Slater tag match on this past, Impact? NXT, I think. Javon Evans gives me young Jeff Hardy vibes. His charisma is off the charts. Yeah, that's why they're pushing him so hard. They see the same thing. JDVFA or JDFVA. Jason Voorhees costume win. It's a little hard to do a live stream with a hockey mask over your face. I don't think that's going to sound too good into the mic. Death Scythe says, if WrestleMania goes back to New Orleans one of these years so we can all attend and possibly meet up at the Cat's Meow, the first round is on me. I'm going to hold you to that. I got a photo on my wall back there of me at the Cat's Meow with the mic in my hand and a drink in the other, man. If I had a guess, I was probably singing We Didn't Start the Fire, because that's usually my go-to song. Well, we'll make it happen, brother, in 2029, or whenever they actually go back to New Orleans. Matt Fisher with the Learning Tree. No message, just wanted to scare the bejesus out of me. Dev to Dust. Was the 2025 Mets collapse worse than 2007? I don't think the collapse itself was necessary, because the collapse in 07 was all, I mean, it was over a shorter period of time. This was like a slow moving iceberg and you could see it coming and there was nothing you could do to stop it. This is my least favorite Mets team of all time, though, because there was absolutely no reason for them not to be playing postseason baseball right now. Also, did you know Jim Johnston made the Stone Cold theme by sampling Razor Ramon's theme? Yes, I do. Jim Johnston, Hall of Fame 2026. He should have been announced before Stephanie McMahon. Matt Fisher says, LOL, worth it, with his Brie mode. Thank you, Matt. Matt's really enjoying himself here. C's, Julia, double champ soon. Really, what's the other belt that she's going to hold? The speed title? Are you saying she's going to beat Sol Ruka to win the speed title? Because that's about the only other championship that she has a shot at winning. Unless she and Kiana are going to jump into the women's tag team title picture. Deathside says, best way to get Orton booed is he goes to his terrorizing the McMahon family, twisting Jeff Hardy's earlobe with a screwdriver and bending Shawn Spears' finger with the ring rope tensioner's persona. And that was a long way to make that point. I still think that you're going to have difficulty getting fans to boo him, though, even if he does all of that. But you could do it. I mean, you could still try to get it done. Scumdog says, throwing the ones up for Solo. Everybody should be doing that. Everybody throw the ones up for Solo. Duff's Vids, what animal is best at baseball? A bat. Is it a man bat? That's what Joseph would want to know. Is it a man bat? Leopoldo. There he is with the 12. Says hello to my fellow October baby Cholo Monster in the chat. Says my Mexican ass accent pronounced it that way when I first told my girlfriend about you, and that's what she calls you. I'm the Cholo Monster. Okay. This is feeling very scary in your learning patch tonight. I'm the Cholo Monster, huh? That works. Tell her I'm okay with that. Kate Love, thank you for the 20, Kate. I love it. We got Death Scythe, who says... Oh, El Grande Americano is here. Here's an idea for a super chat. I am the visionary. Shut the fuck up. Fuck the visionary. I think we need less visionary, not more visionary. I don't want to be reminded of him all the time. Duff's Vids, what is a mummy's favorite type of music? Oh my god. He says, rap music with a W. Boo this man.
You suck.
Boo this man. You must boo this man. Now, Duff's, I see it. What did the pig... say on a hot day, I'm baking. You made me scroll back for that. Death Scythe says, here's a scary thought. Imagine Seth Rollins and Chris Jericho as a tag team. Oh, God. God, why would you even suggest such a thing? Daryl with a five, Canadian five. What did Hulk Hogan ask in arts and crafts class? What you gonna glue, brother? Thank you, Daryl. What you gonna glue? Death Scythe, name any kind of villain from any media, DC, Marvel, Disney, whatever, and I would put any of them up against Ridley from Metroid, because he is just ridiculously evil and the manga just illustrates it. You know, I don't think I ever played any of the Metroid games. I mean, forget the manga, I'm just talking about the game now. So I'm not familiar with Ridley. Outside of Alien, but hey, it's Base Beerus. Death Scythe, thank you again. Duff's Vids, what's made of leather and sounds like a sneeze? A shoe. That is in tight, Duff Vids. Also, what does Dracula's girlfriend and a boxer have in common? They both go down for the count. Actually, okay, that one is your best one tonight. Alex says, Brother Solo, thoughts on Cody being the one to take the losing pin for his team at War Games, which leads to Orton turning heel as a result. I don't think Cody needs to be in War Games. I would rather see a WWE Championship match on the show in between the two War Games matches, so I'm going to say no. Death Scythe says, Dominic Mysterio used to be called X-Con Dom. Well, what would he be called if you remove the X? Well, if his father had worn one of those, we wouldn't have to deal with X-Condom now, would we? The Juliet says, congrats to Mickie James and the beautiful people on being inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame. Yes, they will be inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame as part of Bound for Glory, which is coming up next weekend. And I actually am leaning towards doing a live Bound for Glory review on YouTube that Sunday night. I mean, it's the same weekend as Crown Jewel, so I think we may be looking at Crown Jewel, you know, live review Saturday afternoon, sound off on Sunday, possibly Bound for Glory live review Sunday night. Don't hold me to it, but that's kind of the way I'm leaning right now. I covered Slammiversary. And, you know, I got to see Mike Santana do the thing, man. I got to see Mike Santana win that TNA World Championship. Death Scythe says, could Teddy Hart get a Dark Side of the Ring episode in the future? His whole career is a Dark Side of the Ring episode. So, yes, of course, at some point. I'm sure he will. Broly says, really hope they move Julia with Asuka this year. I'm down for that. Can't be any worse than where she is right now. I mean, I hate even saying that because they put a belt on her, but it's not like the belt means anything. They never bothered to really make the belt mean anything to begin with. They've done a better job with the Intercontinental title on Monday. So, yes, Julia has a belt, but it doesn't mean shit. So it can't be any worse than the position she's in right now. Mystic J 44. I think Julia should have stayed on Raw. Sure, that roster is a bit bloated, but at least she would have had a better selection of opponents. Yeah, but then you would have to not trade, but you know what I mean. If they would have had her on Raw, there would have been somebody else on SmackDown, and chances are they would have ended up in the same spot that she's basically in right now. But yes, for Julia, it would have been better for her to end up on Raw. Base Beer says, is it fair that people blame Lex for Elizabeth's death? I think he bears some responsibility in that. I think it's unfair to blame him entirely for it. But does he bear some responsibility for what happened there? Yes, I think he does. Absolutely. Death Scythe says, have you seen any Mina Shirakawa matches? She is great, and it's hard to believe she didn't start wrestling until she was 31. I guess she's in the Batista and DDP club. Have I seen any Mina Shirakawa matches? Yes. Yes, I've seen several. I do watch AEW. And she is great. She's on AEW and Ring of Honor. Base Beerus says, you ever see Piper absolutely destroy Bill Maher? Oh, yeah. I think that was the show with Piper, Medusa, Sting, and Bobby Heenan on Bill Maher's old show on ABC. He had that old show, Politically Incorrect. And he might have used the F word about wrestling. And I think that's what set Piper off. I think Piper stood up and pulled his pants down a little bit just to show his titanium hip and the scar on his hip. Yeah. Yeah, it's a famous episode. You can find it on YouTube. And Base Beerus says, record low Netflix ratings. I blame Jey Uso. Yeah, the Netflix ratings for Raw. Lowest Raw ratings of all time. Ratings, when I say that wrestling is cold right now, obviously WWE is still selling out all their big events and the weekly shows, the ticket sales are still through the roof. And they're making money, but, you know, the product itself, it's just not firing right now. It's just not firing. We're in this creative desert in many ways. They need to step it up. Everybody across the board, step it up. Let's light the fuse, man. Something has to happen here. Death Side says, by the way, you're absolutely right. Eddie Guerrero should have worn one. Eddie Guerrero should have worn one for our ex-condom, condom. Yes, Eddie should have worn a condom, and then we wouldn't have Dom. But Dom is great. I have no issues with Dom. Dom will be a world champion in WWE one day. He's going to be a big baby face one day. He's already a big baby face. You listen to some of these reactions he's getting on the weekly shows. Let's say he's going to be a baby face. He's already being cheered by a lot of these crowds. You saw WrestleMania this year? We are at 359 likes. So we hit the bonus goal. So you're going to get one round to be the booker. It looks like that's all you're getting tonight, but at least you got the one. Although I'm a little disappointed, I must say. But let's go ahead and do it. Let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, Spooky it is now edition. Time to be the booker.
They say wrestling is fake, but the hospital bill isn't. Well, at least in WWE, they'll cover the hospital bill. and AEW. In most other places, that just isn't the case. All right. Tag team, be the booker. We get to book a tag team match with not the people I was hoping for. But we have The Big Show and we have Kane. But see, this at least is not the Authority era Big Show and Kane. Like, I could live with this. I could just look at this picture and know. This is 2006. This is 2006 Kane and Big Show. I could tell. Kane and Big Show, did they have a tag team name? I don't think they did. Undertaker and Kane were the Brothers of Destruction. Big Show and Undertaker were the Unholy Alliance. Did they have like a formal tag team name? They're going to be taking on Cody and Goldust, the Rhodes Brothers. The Rhodes Brothers against Kane and Big Show. Our women's Be the Booker, we have Sasha Banks. It's boss time. Aren't you happy we don't have to hear Michael Cole say that anymore? It's boss time. It's the big dog. Sasha Banks, and this, I could tell, is her entrance for her WrestleMania main event against Bianca Belair. Call her Sasha, call her Mercedes. She wants a new belt. And she's going to try to take it from Emma. Not a strong opponent for her. That's not a buzz for Mercedes. It's just, that's not a strong match. Not a strong match. And our main event. Our main event of the evening begins with Liv Morgan giving me her room key. Pick a stipulation. It's not all I'm going to pick. All right, here we go. Stipulations. We got to pick a stip. We get a stipulation from our main event. For our main event. Table match. All right, we're going to have a table match. Someone's going through a table. We have Drew McIntyre, the Scottish psychopath, the Highlander. Drew McIntyre in the main event is going to be battling who? Razor Ramon. Hey, you know what? That'd be a really fucking great match, actually. Razor Ramon and Drew McIntyre. Two big guys, too. You know, Scott Hall was just... You could tell he wasn't like a small man on TV, but still, like, deceptively large. I don't know. Height-wise, what was he? He had to be like 6'4", maybe? 6'4", 6'5"? He was a big guy. We didn't sweep, but we got 2 out of 3, so that's not bad. Let's catch up on these super chats here. MacTub, more impressive year, 98 Austin or 2000 Rock? 98 Austin. Like peak Austin, like peak Attitude Era Austin was just a different beast, man. And I was in the building for a lot of those shows, so... The vibe was just, not that Rock didn't have his own aura and his own vibe. And again, 2000, I love 2000, but I am not voting against 98 Austin. Also, MacTub, is Foley underrated? His promos get little credit. No, absolutely not. I think Foley is properly rated. I think most people talk about his promos being among the greatest of all. Like, if you had your own list of great promos in wrestling, Foley is on virtually all of those lists. I don't think anybody is underrating Foley's promo ability. Holiday 197, thoughts on Chelsea Green potentially challenging Tiffany Stratton for the women's championship? Chelsea does not have to win, but Tiffany needs something to do. You could do it, but again, Chelsea is a comedy character on the show. That's why I said, like, change things up a little bit. Maybe have her do something dastardly that isn't meant to just get a laugh. if you want to build up a serious women's world championship match with her. Secret Hervis, Chelsea Green? No. Deathside. Speaking of Eddie, when he lost the WWE title, he looked like a weight had been lifted. Well, because he put so much pressure on himself. He paid attention to how, you know, the gates were and the ratings and everything. And he, if it wasn't going well, he blamed himself for that. He was probably driving himself crazy. You know, he took pride in being the champion. And when things were not as hot maybe as they wanted it to be, you know, he looked at that as an indictment on himself because he was the champion. He was the guy. I'm sure it was like a weight being lifted off his shoulders. We got Nash the Stampede with a $9.99. Says, what's up, Solo? In your opinion, what are three funny segments in any professional wrestling company that you would recommend for a non-wrestling fan? Love the show. Keep up the good work, my man. Thank you, Nash. I actually think most non-fans would, even without any context whatsoever, would probably get a real kick out of the woo-off in TNA between Jay Lethal and Ric Flair. I mean, that's just an entertaining segment, no matter you know, whether you're a wrestling fan or not. So that would be one. Funny segments for any professional wrestling company. I always have trouble not laughing when I watch the Tea Time with Santino segment with Santino and Sheamus and Kozlov. I feel like a non-wrestling fan, I mean, they may think it's stupid, but I also feel like they might get a chuckle out of it. Of course, the most widely viewed one, of course, in terms of funny segments would be This Is Your Life with Rock and Mankind. So I guess you throw that one on there too. That's three of them right there. The Angle Cena rap battle. Austin, quote unquote, shooting Vince. Yeah, it's more of a wrestling thing. I don't think non-fans are going to really care about that. Paul Carpenter, 30 months of membership, says, I miss the new generation. I gained more of an appreciation for the new generation as time went on. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed the ascent of guys like Brett and Shawn to main event status. And business may not have been great during that time, and there were some lean years in there and some really terrible fucking gimmicks, but I enjoyed the new generation era. Clone Force 99 with 17 months of membership. If Cross was in WWE still, he convinced Orton that we need old heel Orton back and that to turn on Cody Rhodes. Cross was the reason why New Day went heel. Yeah, I mean, that's fine that he could have been the instigator of all that and everything, but I would want him to be doing more than just that. You know, I mean, that's fine and all, but I would like to think that had he stuck around, he'd be doing more than that, but probably not. Shout out to Slime Gumby, again, one of our new channel members. Base Bearer says, has anyone had a deal close to Brett's 20-year deal? I think just The Undertaker. I think a few years ago, Undertaker signed like a 15-year contract. Outside of that, I don't think so. I don't think anybody's had any kind of deal even close to that. Those are pretty much the only ones I could think of. Well, thank you guys. Some great questions in there. I appreciate you spending your time with me here on a Friday night. We're going to wrap this up here. At least we had the one Be the Booker tonight. And we will be back. We got a very busy week coming up, even though there is no SmackDown stream next Friday. We will have the Raw post show on Monday. Actually, before that, we have episode 932 of The Sound Off on Sunday. Raw post show on Monday will also double as a little birthday party because it's my birthday. I get to spend my birthday with all of you. So we'll have a little celebration on Monday night. Solo working on his birthday. What else is new? Tuesday Night Titans, of course, over on JD's channel. Some great discussion going on there. The best two-man power trip in the entire community. Wednesday will be the Dynamite post-show. Friday night, I will be at the NYC Arena for the House of Glory show. Again, tickets, limited tickets are still available, hogwrestling.net. Or you can watch live on Triller TV. Fuck SmackDown. You can just watch House of Glory. We got Cross. We got cross-facing Matt Cardona, by the way. We got Leon Slater and Amazing Red. Indy Hartwell with her women's championship. Again, Zeta Steele. We got the Hardys in action for the tag team titles. Charles Mason puts his HOG World Championship on the line against the Progress World Champion, Man Like Darice, in a no disqualification match, and so much more. So that'll be on Friday. Crown Jewel is next weekend. Bound for Glory is next weekend. Oh boy, I can tell I'm not going to get a lot of sleep this week. I could tell. Oh, I could tell. We had the Juliet says Bad Bunny, the Super Bowl halftime performer. Yeah, I love it. I think Bad Bunny is great. And Paul says WWE Vault dropped Diesel versus Brett King of the Ring 94 match. Everybody needs to go check that out. That was the debut of the Heart Attack theme song. Yeah, that's right. The updated Brett theme song. I guess, WrestleMania 10, he can't, still had the old music. That was actually one of the better Diesel and Brett matches. Like, of the three they had in 94, 95, the best one is Survivor Series. I like the King of the Ring match more than I do the Royal Rumble match in 95. So that's how I would rank them. I did see that they uploaded that. I have it on my... I've created my own little playlist because they're adding so much stuff. And I'm not watching... I'm not going to have time to watch it all. So every time they add something I like, I created my own YouTube playlist called The Vault, and I just dump it in there. So my playlist is getting very bloated. Right now, I'm about to wrap up the Bashed in the USA Coliseum video. I watched WrestleFest 93. I'm about to wrap up Bashed in the USA. And then they have a three-hour Mr. Perfect compilation. And I'm going to start that next. I love The Vault. The Vault is fucking great. I enjoy The Vault more than I do the weekly shows, honestly. I really do. I mean, it's sad, but I'm sorry. It's just... it's much more enjoyable to me. So yeah, The Vault rocks. Is that the first table spot with Brett and Diesel? No, the table spot with Brett and Diesel was not the King of the Ring match. That was the Survivor Series match. Oh, right. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Shit. I stand corrected on the schedule. Thank you for reminding me. I mentioned TNT on Tuesday and Dynamite on Wednesday. That is not true. There was a head-to-head with NXT and AEW on Tuesday, and I will be going live on this channel on Tuesday night. Thank you for reminding me about that. I am leaning towards covering both shows, like watching them at the same time, and then reviewing them both. I did that 2 years ago. I vowed never to do that again. I'm leaning towards doing it again. Last year, they only went head-to-head for an hour. So there was like a little bit of overlap between the AEW and NXT shows, but they didn't completely overlap, and now they're just completely head-to-head again. So whether it's AEW or AEW and NXT, I will be live on Tuesday night. We're moving TNT to Wednesday. I think that's the plan. So either way, I'll be streaming on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, and probably Sunday night for Bound for Glory. We'll see. Anyway, thank you again. Be well. Stay safe. I will see you for Sound Off episode 932 on Sunday. And then we got a big week coming up. I'll see you then. Take care, guys.